that, Jim. Record that. Putting down a good track. You better be recording, right? This is Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB, Kansas City and across the Midwest and on the 810 app. I am your host, Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is producing today and picking out our music. And this is, I'm going to kill myself.
And this is Spoon.
Spoon, okay, gosh. That's really good stuff. Underrated, very underrated band. I'm sure you wanted to hear my thoughts on music, but it's a good track. I like this.
We normally talk quite a bit of music.
Yes, we do. I know. I always try to play it off like, oh, I guess I shouldn't be talking music.
Yeah, I never open every segment being like, hey, what's this? Oh, well, I like this song.
I mean, sports, we're going to get to sports, but
maybe
we'll kick around music for a minute. Maybe
we'll
not.
We'll see.
We've talked weather, talked music.
Talked to Easter, talked to Passover.
Passover. We got it all. You don't need to watch the morning news. Just listen to us. We'll cover it all.
Yep.
At some point, we'll cover it all. If you missed the news at the end of last hour, today's Royals-White Sox game has been postponed. So no Royals game at the K today, which might actually be a good thing, considering how the first two games unfolded. Again, it's a long season, but not good results.
Yeah, I had a friend who I saw on Friday, and she and her daughter were supposed to go. And I was like, that sounds miserable.
That's
you realize it's supposed
bad
to
idea,
snow.
Jeans.
She's like, well, that's getting me out of a lot of family obligations, though. So,
unless you've got like enough. Like Diamond Club tickets or one of those
even then, man.
The George
I guess
Brett
the Crown Club would be nice
Crown
because you
Club?
Can go inside
yeah.
or the dugout suites.
Yeah,
would be nice.
Any one of those. I've never sat in the Diamond Club.
I've sat in there.
I don't. I guess I'm not on that economic scale.
I actually saw Seren in there.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
I would love if somebody would like to invite me. Somehow, I'd be glad to go. I mean, it looks like a great time.
Yeah, they're nice. I've never sat in the crown seats, though.
I have never sat in the crown seats. I went to the Crown Club one time. It was like a 105-degree day, and we were out there doing a live shot for television. And when you're in the dugout and you're working, you don't grab water from, you know, where the players are because that's their space, not yours. So I went looking for a water fountain down underneath Kauffman Stadium. Could not find a water fountain. Walked down to the entrance of the Crown Club. Went all the way down the stairs, and I said, hey, do you have a bottle of water I can buy or something? Can I just get a cup of water? And they said, are you a Crown Club member? And I said, no, I'm not. I don't have tickets. I'm melting down out here. I just need some water. And the guy or lady looked at me and said, you shouldn't even be down here in the first place. I said, well, that was kind of mean. I'm desperate here. I'm just looking for a cup of water. There's no water fountain down here. Can you not see me? I'm struggling. Sorry, you need to leave, like now. Okay. Next time I'll buy a ticket. Next time I have $200 for a ticket. It's all right.
I think they're only $185.
It's so. Only $185. Yeah. That's a bargain then.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to sit there one time. I just don't have the connections to make it happen. I got to get a ticket deal. Everybody's got a deal. I need a ticket broker deal is what I need.
Just call our friends at Tickets for Less.
There
I'm
we
sure
go.
They can get you a great deal. 913-685-3322.
There you go. Sell it. That's what I'll do. Maybe I'll do that. Since I've never sat there, since they built the Crown Club, I've never sat in a Crown Club seat. I'll do that.
Doubleheader, April 28th. My birthday.
You celebrate your birthday in the NFL draft. We'll go out in the Crown seats. That'll be awesome. And it won't be 105.
I'd assume your treat because it's my birthday. So you got both tickets?
We'll
Thanks.
See.
Thanks, Brad.
You just walked me right in through a commercial and then buying yourself a birthday present. That's well executed.
I'm a master manipulator. Trust me. Just ask anyone surrounded in my life.
The Royals have certainly not started off well. And I'll just kind of recap a couple of things for you. And then we'll get back to KU talk. By the way, if you want to jump in on this Easter Sunday, if you're on your way to an Easter Mass or a brunch or a celebration, or if you don't celebrate Easter, I know Passover is this weekend as well. And even if you don't celebrate anything, you're more than welcome to call in 913-381-1810. That's 913-381-1810. We can talk about the KU Final Four blasting at the hands of Villanova. We can talk at the Royals getting off to an 0-2 start. And then having to postpone today's game. Chiefs draft is coming up. Sporting KC's win. It is all available if you want to join in and talk about it. But the Royals, look, I know it's not you never make too much out of a couple of games, okay? The Royals are going to have losing streaks. They're going to have winning streaks. Maybe more winning stretches than streaks. But there are some glaring problems. Number one, the bullpen. It has been atrocious. You know, opening day, was it 8 or 9 pitchers used in that game? Almost everybody got into that one. That was a mess. And then last night, you're thinking, okay, it looks better. Royals are up 3-1. Moustakas has a triple, scored a run. Lucas Duda drove in a couple of runs. Ian Kennedy was pretty rock solid for 6 innings. Worked in and out of trouble a couple of times, but that's, you know, he doesn't have a lot of luck at Kauffman Stadium since joining the Royals. 3-1 going into the 8th, you're thinking, okay, we don't have to pitch all the guys that blew up on opening day. We just need to get these 6 outs. Do we have a couple of guys who can get us 6 outs? You got one guy that you can get 3. That's Kelvin Herrera. You know that. Who can get us 3 outs? Who can get us the 3 outs to get us our first win of the season and at least start erasing the memory of opening day? We got a guy? Let's see, we got a guy. Brandon Maurer? Guy we got from San Diego last year. Do we got a guy? Can he do it? Can he get it done? No. And it wasn't even close. I mean, it was ugly from the get-go. I didn't think he was going to get an out. And this is the same Brandon Maurer that we saw last season. There's nothing new here. We're not breaking ground or discovering new territory here. It's bad last year. Had a bad outing last night. 1 inning, 3 earned runs, a walk, and no strikeouts. Gave it the big 3-run home run. 3 outs. That's all you need. Needed 9 outs total. I said 6 earlier. They needed 9 outs total. Grimm, one of the new bullpen relievers in. Pretty good in his inning of work. Couple of strikeouts. Did give up a hit. But Maurer, 3 earned runs, including the home run. And the numbers that I got from, I talked about it last hour, Clint Scholes from BP Kansas City, noted that Brandon Maurer has pitched 21 2/3 innings for the Royals since coming over from San Diego. 21 2/3. Number of runs given up? 21. 21 runs in 21 2/3 innings. It continues to be a problem. And look, I think we all had the same idea coming out of spring training that maybe not the same idea, but kind of the notion Dayton Moore and the Royals know how to build a bullpen. Piece together a bullpen, and they'll get it figured out. They haven't got it figured out. And it's... You're already looking at a season where you're not contending, right? I mean, we all know that. This is part of the rebuild. Got a couple of guys. You got Moose to come back for a year. Went out and got a Lucas Duda. Got a John Jay. I like those guys. I like all the signings. But realistically, this is not a team that's going to compete. You've got guys who can drive in runs. Got guys who can play defense. Guys who have proven that they can drive in runs and play defense at the major league level. And you look at the bullpen, and I'm just... I don't know what the Royals want to do about it. Signed Kyle Loesch the other day. Woohoo! Kyle Loesch hasn't pitched a major league inning in 2 years. Need a Band-Aid guy, I guess, in the rotation because Nathan Carnes is hurt again. Although he's supposed to be back by the end of this week. But I'm looking at that bullpen. Brandon Maurer, Jesse Hahn, Willie Peralta, Brian Flynn, Birch Smith. Now, Brian Flynn's been okay since he's been a Royal. Jesse Hahn wanted to be a starter. Oakland decided to move him back to the bullpen. Comes to the Royals from Oakland. He's back in the bullpen. There's not a lot there that does it. And so the Royals can drive in runs, okay? The Royals can play defense. But can they get the final 9 outs of a game? And let's take the final 3 out because I trust Kelvin Herrera. Struggled a little bit at times last year, but he's pretty darn good. So you got to figure out the 6 outs. How are you getting the 6 outs? and how are you going to keep it in the ballpark? I don't think they've got it figured out. You know, and speaking of the Kyle Loesch signing, a guy who hasn't pitched in the majors in 2 years, why would you not find a way to keep Kyle Zimmer and maybe just run him out there until he's done? The first-round pick, what, fifth overall? And you signed 40-year-old Kyle Loesch? I mean, I liked Kyle Loesch 5 years ago. 6 years ago? Jed's not happy with that. A while ago. Let's say it's been a while.
Thinking of the major league line. Would have liked to have him 2 years ago. We did.
We did.
4 years ago, then.
The Royals could have signed him a few years ago when he was decent. You let Kyle Zimmer, they've designated him for assignment, and he could still theoretically, well, literally, he could clear the waivers and come back in the minor leagues, but this is going to be a bullpen that's going to run between Omaha and Kansas City all season. Guys are going to be coming in and out, because I'm telling you what, Brandon Maurer, I'm going to just double-check the stats real quick. I believe he was one of the guys who pitched on opening day. So opening day for Brandon Maurer, and this is not the bash Brandon Maurer hour, but he took the collar on it last night. Opening day, two-thirds of an inning, a walk and a strikeout. And then last night against the White Sox, one inning, three earned runs, gave up the three-run home run, a walk, and no strikeouts. This can't happen. So there's three outs you're not confident you can get at the end of the game with Brandon Maurer in there. You can't. You cannot trust it at this point. So they've got to figure out a way to get the six outs between the starter and the closer. And they haven't got it figured out. And I guess, you know, experiment bouncing guy, you know, Jacob Junis could, I guess, go back and forth until they need the five full starters, but I don't think they're going to do that. They want Jacob Junis to be a starter. That's not going to happen. So they got to figure out a way to get those six outs. So just to recap on that, we'll go back to Kansas here. Royals game today, postponed. No game today at Kauffman Stadium. Game will be made up April 28th as part of a doubleheader. So if you have your tickets for today's game, you can keep them and go to that game on April 28th. You don't have to do anything. But if you want to exchange them for a different game, you'll have to contact the Royals. Go to their website, kcroyals.com. They have their ticket return policy and rainout policy on there. I'm not going to go over all of it right now. So I'm going to go back to KU because that's the Final Four. And kind of thinking about it last night because I was up. I'm sure a lot of you were up. Jen, I know you were up. We were up all up till 1 o'clock in the morning watching the post-game coverage and all that. And for Kansas, the feeling going in was, for me, I'll speak for myself. I didn't think KU was going to get to the Final Four. I just didn't. With the roadblocks that were set up, potential roadblocks of Duke, Michigan State, primarily those two. Michigan State knocked out early and then had to face Duke. I wasn't confident they were going to get to the Final Four. I didn't think they were going to get to the Final Four. Okay, so your victory, your first victory is getting to the Final Four. Then it's, okay, this is Bill Self's chance to get in a spot to win a second national championship in 15 years. This would be the time, and I agree with Seren. This is the time when you have a chance to step up, when you can keep a Villanova back down a little bit, get that second national championship, and really put the capper on a Hall of Fame resume. This was a chance to do it. And it was so disappointing. And it wasn't like, you know, Loyola Chicago had a 10-point lead and lost it to a team that was better in Michigan. That was heartbreaking. Loyola Chicago, the loss for them was heartbreaking because they got all the way there. That school hadn't been to a Final Four since 1963. They had a chance to win for a large part of the second half. They were playing really good basketball. That was heartbreaking. And for the Kansas City kids, Ben Jacobson, Clayton Custer, had a drew a blank for a second, sorry. But for those kids, it was the last time they're going to play together because Ben's graduating. Clayton has one more year, and it's not likely they'll make it back to another Final Four. They were in it. The Cinderella story was already there with Sister Jean and the bobbleheads and the Air Sister Jean shoes, everything.
Prayer Jordans.
Prayer Jordans, yeah. So the story was, it was great. And they got a hero's welcome when they went back to Chicago last week. Got a big send-off. Had a good crowd down there. Good Loyola Chicago representation at the Final Four. So this was their chance. And a chance that most likely they will never get again. And they were leading Michigan, an 11 seed over a 3 seed. They were leading Michigan in the second half. Had a 10-point lead. It was legitimate for them to believe they were going to win that game. But you got a 7-foot guy in Wagner who's shooting three-pointers and getting every stinking rebound. I mean, they just, Michigan was too big. They were too big.
You also saw how athletic Charles Matthews was. People forget that he was,
yes,
he was a transfer,
yes,
from Kentucky, and the reason he transferred was because he was at Kentucky.
Right.
So he's a really skilled player, and he was too big for the guards of Loyola to match up with.
Right. And I said, I think I said Ben Jacobson earlier. Ben Richardson is what I meant to say. Don't want to get anybody over at Blue Valley Northwest upset with me. But those kids had an honest, legitimate belief that they were going to win that game in the second half. They had a 10-point lead. They had weathered a couple of Michigan storms. And Michigan was not shooting great in the first half. You know, for as well as Villanova shot for the entire 40 minutes against Kansas, Michigan did not shoot very well in that first half. But it came back around. They kept pounding the boards, kept getting the rebounds. And you saw the Loyola Chicago players, particularly, I think it was with about 6 minutes to go, maybe 5.5 minutes to go in the second half, they were out of gas. They were physically and emotionally spent. They had threw everything they had at Michigan, and Michigan found a way to answer. That's how you get to a championship game. You answer. When you're not playing well, you get back out there in the second 20 minutes and figure it out. And Michigan figured it out. You got 7-foot guys, 6'10 guys against a smaller team. And when Michigan got, after they erased the 10-point deficit and got up by 5, that's where I felt that they kind of crushed it. And there was no way Loyola Chicago was going to come back. Because remember, when it's not just trailing by 5, it's you got to score 5 and get one more while stopping them for the final 4.5 to 5 minutes. And that wasn't going to happen. But credit Loyola Chicago, Clayton Custer, Ben Richardson, that whole team, fantastic story. Porter Mosier, the coach, comes from the Rick Majerus coaching tree. Great job. And a great night to set up at the Final Four. A great opener to set up the big one in prime time, Kansas and Villanova. And to just not be in the game. I don't know how you digest that if you're Bill Self today, if you're the coaching staff today. And Bill Self said earlier, and we're going to play some more sound here. Let's listen to Bill Self here. And he's asked about several things, including, you know, plainly what happened. But the first question came from Kenitra Pulliams at Spectrum Sports, my former coworker over there. She asked about it. And what's the first question, Jed, is if he thought Villanova was ever going to stop making three-pointers. This is about 4 minutes long. Here's Bill Self after the loss to Villanova.
Well, I don't know after the way they started, but I told our guys, you know, I guess my talk of live by the three, die by the three really wasn't very good because I tried to encourage them saying it won't stay like this. But the bottom line is we gave them way too many looks, and they had us halfway, you know, with our five man and forcing help. And our perimeter did a bad job of getting to shooters, you know, obviously. And they, you know, they dominated the game from right from the jump, even though, you know, I thought there were some times that we actually did some better things, but it was too little too late. We never put any game pressure on them.
On your offensive sets, did the ball stick?
I don't know about that. It wasn't our offense. You know, I'll be honest with you. You know, we didn't play unbelievably well offensively, but sticking's probably a little bit. It may have a little bit. Our ball and body movement wasn't as good as what it could be, without question.
Did they do anything defensively that forced you to – you didn't get a three up until 7 minutes to go in the first half?
They pressured out. They didn't leave us. You know, they decided to play Doak one-on-one in the post. And, you know, he's not a – that's not his game to be a passer out of the post. And so they didn't they elected not to dive. And if he scored a two, then he scored a two. They didn't leave our guys much at all. And credit to them. They made us try to drive the ball to score, and then we weren't very aggressive. In a game like that, in my opinion, we got to have, all of our perimeter, pretty much clicking or playing at a pretty high level. And if I ever watch the tape again, which I doubt I do, I think I'd find out that we didn't have much aggressiveness in a couple of those spots.
What was the message in the locker room after the game?
These deals are never good. You know, we've lost some tough games to end seasons, and I don't think we've ever been in a game like this to end a season. But just the fact that, of all the teams that have gotten to a Final Four that we've had, this one was probably the least expected one to do it. These guys, after we got punched in the face a few times, we never really recovered to the point that we put any game pressure on them. And guys will remember that, not being their best. But what they should remember after two or three days is reflect back all the good things they did with kind of a makeshift roster at times, so to speak. So I'm real proud of the kids. It wasn't that they didn't try. It wasn't that they didn't try to prepare. It wasn't that anything like that. It's just today was a perfect storm early. I mean, unfortunately for us, we were on the wrong end of it.
What was that moment like with Devontae when he checked out?
Yeah, he's an amazing kid, amazing man. And I'm so proud of him and Svi with what they've given us. And Svi didn't have a great game today. But I thought Devontae actually, he competed pretty hard and played well. It's such a difference when Jalen obviously is terrific and he controlled the game, but it's such a difference when you can take him out and rest him a minute here, a minute there, but whatever. We can't take Devontae out. And so, the kid's just worn out. He's got to be as tired as any player in the country. And he gives us everything he's got. And so, it's sad for him because I would love for him to be in a one or two possession game where the ball was in his hands to go, do it or not do it. He would live for that, but he's had many opportunities to do that for us this year, and he should remember those and not remember this one.
How long do you think it'll take for him? It's kind of raw right now, but to realize that he's worn the uniform for the last time.
Oh, I think it's hit them all. Yeah, I do. I don't think that's going to be something that will take a long time. Our roster will be totally different next year, I would think, and so because there's a lot of unknowns out there, but I think sometimes with the underclassmen, you don't realize that this may be the last time because you got a safety net for seniors. There's no safety net, so I think he's known for the last month that we're counting down the days, and so I don't think that'll be one that'll take him a long time to figure out. He's figured that one out.
Bill Self, after the Kansas Jayhawks lose to Villanova 95-79 in the national semifinals, Villanova moving on to face Michigan in the national championship game. And he's right what he said about Devontae Graham. He played a good game. He's a guy who can't come off the floor. Brunson for Villanova, they can bring him out on the floor. I talked about this yesterday on the show. He only averages about 32 minutes a game. He gets rest during the season. Devontae Graham doesn't get a lot of rest. But his jersey's going to hang in the rafters at Allen Fieldhouse. He's got a Final Four, been to three Elite Eights, won four Big 12 championships to extend the streak to 14. Terrific career at Kansas. And that'll be lost initially today because you have to talk about the fallout and how bad the game was. And maybe it wasn't a terrible game, but it was Villanova just having the night of its life shooting, just unbelievable percentages. But Bill Self was right. Terrific careers for Devontae Graham, Svi Mykhailiuk, and we'll see the new guys. Bill Self just had three kids in the McDonald's All-American game, and they were throwing down windmill dunks and launching threes. They won't be hurting for talent next year, that's for sure. But this one's going to hurt for a little bit. All right, we're going to take a timeout here. Coming up, Cole Craig, who writes for ChiefsWeekly.com, is going to jump in. Chiefs have made their several offseason moves, trades, signings. Got the draft coming up in about 3.5 weeks. So we'll talk about that with Cole Craig. And then later in the show, Cody Tapp is going to join us to talk Royals baseball. And if you missed it earlier, the Royals have postponed today's game against the White Sox. It's rescheduled for a doubleheader on April 28th. Go to the website, kcroyals.com, and see what the ticket situation is. If you want to use your ticket for today's game, for the game on April 28th, I don't think you have to do anything. But if you want to exchange it for another game, go to the team's website and you can find out all the details. So Cody Tapp will join us later talking Royals baseball. Again, a quick time out here. You're listening to Sports Sundays. We broadcast live from the Rally House Studios. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is producing. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back to Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City and across the Midwest and on the 810 app. Get on your phone, your laptop, your computer. It's a cloudy, cold, wintry Easter Sunday. Just the way you'd expect it. Just the way you'd draw it up. Happy Easter if you celebrate. If you're on your way to a Mass or not on your way to a Mass, but you're spending time with us, appreciate it. If you're on your way to a brunch, which I'm sure a lot of people are, thanks for checking us out. Again, I'm going to repeat this throughout the entire show, but the Royals game today is postponed. So if you had plans to go to Kauffman Stadium today for whatever masochistic reason that would be.
Lack common sense.
On a 30-degree day with snow expected, you don't have to go. Royals postponed. There'll be a makeup game on April 28th. So Boys in Blue will be on their way out of town for 3 games in Detroit and 3 in Cleveland. So six games away from Kauffman Stadium. Recapping KU today, recapping Sporting KC, who got a nice little 1-0 victory over DC United and Felipe Gutierrez. 5 goals in 5 games, if they don't count his goal last night as an own goal, but that's, you know, whatever. Royals back-to-back losses to open the season. Awesome. Right now, we're going to flip it over to some Chiefs football. Cole Craig, who writes for ChiefsWeekly.com, joins us. And football season never ends. We know that. So we've had trades, we've had signings, we have controversies. We have the latest, you know, Odell Beckham Jr. Is he going to be traded? The Giants want to get rid of him. Rob Gronkowski's been talking retirement. Is that actually going to happen? Cole Craig, I will ask you this. The NFL PR machine knows how to keep stories alive when the season is not being played and how to keep on the front pages. These stories to me are garbage. I think they're something tells me they're manufactured. Maybe that's the cynic part of me. I think these are manufactured.
Yeah, a little bit, and especially whenever the Patriots are concerned, there's always some sort of air that they're up to something or just trying to stay in the news. I will say this: Rob Gronkowski is going to have a hell of a career when he leaves the NFL. You hear speculation about he might be a professional wrestler, which, with the personality that he
right.
has, you can see him
perfect
being a total star in that arena, or he'll have something. That guy's going to be an entertainer for a long time, and really, what left does he have to prove in the NFL?
Nothing. He's no longer the best tight end, so.
No, I think that we have a guy right here in town that would probably agree with you.
Rob Gronkowski will make a career of making cameo appearances in movies. Maybe showing up to the wrestling events. He'll do commercials. I don't think he would be a good broadcaster. He doesn't strike me as the guy who's going to sit down and break it down and be well prepared for a game or a studio show. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm just telling you what it looks like to me.
I don't think he's got a lot of upside as a broadcaster.
No.
There was a career profile, the way that you have draft prospect profiles. That'd be a part of his game that would pull him down in the broadcast booth. But you know you don't have to be well spoken and really on top of things analytically to be entertaining. And
yes.
he'll be in front of a mic or one way or the other.
All right, we're talking with Cole Craig from ChiefsWeekly.com. The NFL draft is 3.5 weeks away. Before I get into the draft, just a couple of signings to walk through with you for the Chiefs. Very exciting for the offense, and they picked up some defensive players too. But with Patrick Mahomes taking over as quarterback, the Chiefs have clearly laid out a game plan to give him as many weapons as possible. Still have Travis Kelce. Tyreek Hill became a star last year. Then you go out and add a Sammy Watkins, who I liked coming out of college. I really liked him. I know he's had some injury problems, but you can't teach speed.
No.
And he's despite the injuries, he still got it.
He still has a lot of speed, and he's got some size too. A couple of weeks ago, just off air before all these moves had happened, Jed and I were having a conversation. I was calling for trading for Brandon Cooks. Another Patriot
I heard was on the
block. He's in the final year of his rookie contract, and maybe not ready to sign an extension with the Patriots. And you know how quickly they'll move on from guys. But we just talked about with Gronk.
Takes about 5 minutes, unless your name's Tom Brady.
And I was imagining having a speedster in Hill on one side, a speedster in Cooks on the other. Watkins is really fast too, and that's a move that I really didn't see coming.
Mm-hmm.
And 3-year contract. I mean, really, the only thing about Watkins that scares you is the injury history, because he's had a hard time staying healthy on a consistent basis in the league. That's been a big reason that he's been held back. That, and he hasn't really had a super dynamic quarterback throwing to him yet either. So I'm really excited to see what he can do in this offense, especially with Hill on the other side.
So have we raised the expectations for Patrick Mahomes II too high? Because we've always thought when Alex Smith was here, well, he didn't always have the weapons, and he had one or two and had some good guys, and he saw what Kareem Hunt did last year. And so now you have the weapons with a player who's played a handful of minutes in the National Football League. Are the expectations too high, or is it reasonable to expect playoffs this year?
Well, the expectations, I think, were sky high even before they went out and made all of these moves. And I, along with a lot of other people in Kansas City, saw a player in Patrick Mahomes last year that looked special, and he could absolutely fall flat on his face and disappoint the entire town next season. I don't see that happening, and I think the moves to bring in Sammy Watkins, and even some of the lower key moves that they made, like Damian Williams, mm-hmm. who brings some extra depth to the running back position. They're going to make sure that they can run that ball no matter who's out there. They're going to have options there. And they even we're not talking a whole lot about it, because why would you? But they brought in a couple of decent veterans in Chad Henne and Matt McGloin. So he's got a couple of veteran players that could be.
Are you comfortable
with
those? Are you comfortable with those guys if they have to play a couple of games here and there?
I am, and I know there was a lot of talk about Chase Daniel maybe coming back and playing that mentor sort of role.
He's the sentimental favorite
with Mahomes, yeah. And if you look at it, Chad Henne's deal's worth about $3.5-4 million less over 2 years than the deal that Chase Daniel got. Chad Henne's played a lot more. We know a lot more about who he is. And one thing that he has that Chase Daniel doesn't necessarily have is he's got a big arm.
Mm-hmm.
Henne's always had a really strong arm. And the Chiefs need to have a backup quarterback with a big arm, because if Patrick Mahomes is injured, or if they need to pull him, if he proves that he's not ready after the first few weeks, at least with somebody like Henne, they wouldn't necessarily have to completely change the offense midseason the way that they would if Chase Daniel was the guy.
I think this is what I like about what you said. Chad Henne with the experience and the big arm. Tyler Bray, I said 5 years ago the guy's not an NFL quarterback. I just never believed it. He's got a cannon for an arm. I don't think he grasps the offense in the National Football League, especially one as complicated as Andy Reid's. Maybe it's not overly complicated, but it's creative. And if you don't grasp the principles and the concepts after the first couple of years, it's not going to end well for you, unless you find another system that works for you, which maybe Case Keenum was able to do last year. You find the system or the coach that works. I never believed Tyler Bray was going to be a starting quarterback in the National Football League.
Well, Bray and Chase Daniel are reunited in Chicago,
yes,
as backups. I think that Bray and Daniel need to get to work right away on writing a book about how to make a lot of money in the NFL
and
without setting foot on the field.
Without getting hit.
And they do it in opposite ways. Bray with physical ability only, and Daniel with the mind, mm-hmm. and less about the physicality. They're doing it in their own way, but both guys are making a fair amount of money in their NFL careers for having not played.
Chase Daniel's going to end up making somewhere around $30 million and virtually never getting hit in the National Football League. And maybe if they get together and write a book, Matt Blunden can write the foreword to it.
There you go.
Because
yeah.
He didn't. He played very few downs for the Chiefs. I think he backed up Joe Montana for at least for a year. and they backed up a couple of other guys, but he walked away with a few million bucks. Never had to take a hit.
It's not a bad gig.
No, it's not.
Not a bad gig. They don't get hit in practice either. They're not supposed to.
No, so, got the yellow jersey on.
Yeah, it's a lot better gig than being that defensive lineman, making a few grand a week on the practice squad, getting knocked around in practice and all of that. Yeah, the third string quarterback is a great gig. People like to talk about the long snappers. Teach your kid how to long snap or to punt. Those guys still get hit, man.
Yes.
Those guys still get hit. They've got the spotlight on them in key points of the game, too. Third string quarterback's the way to go.
Well, I know, and Kendall Gammon has joked about this when he came into the National Football League, and for most of his career, the defensive, the punt blocking unit was allowed to crack the long snapper, just hammer him into the dirt. It's really dangerous. And Kendall Gammon jokes, I think I'm an inch or two shorter than when he came into the league, and now they've since changed that. But, yeah, I mean, you're on the field for a few times a game, and the Chiefs have had good luck from Kendall Gammon to Thomas Gafford and the current long snapper and drawing a blank on right now, but he's really good. James Winchester, thank you. He's really good, a solid guy. Dustin Colquitt was able to get his deal done. And you know what? You may not think of him as an offensive weapon, maybe more of a defensive weapon because he can flip the field for you. Does he still have the kind of leg that can make the difference? Because we saw his numbers drop off a little bit last year. Are you concerned at all about that?
I do think that Colquitt is reaching a point in his career where he might not be able to as consistently boot those 60, 65-yard field-flipping kicks. But he's always been very efficient at dropping punts inside the 20. And I don't think that that's something that he's going to lose with age. So he may be at a point where he might have to flip the script a little bit as to the type of punter that he is. He may be more of a hang time punter and a position punter. And that's not necessarily a bad thing because we've been very spoiled in Kansas City for a while. But before they drafted Colquitt in the third round back in 2005, they had gone through several pretty subpar punters in Kansas City.
Yes.
And it's a very distant memory now, but a bad punter can really hurt you a lot.
Yep, absolutely. Over on the defensive side of the ball, I think we all expected Alex Smith to get traded. The only question was what the Chiefs would get back. Would it be draft picks? Would it be a player? And I think for most of us, we were all pleasantly surprised that Washington was willing to part with Kendall Fuller. Because by all the statistical metrics and ways you can measure it, he's the top slot defensive back in the National Football League, if not the best, the top three or four. And the Chiefs have talked about even playing him on the outside. We're not really sure yet. Sure they'll figure it out, but pleasantly surprised that he was available. Was there any issue with him in Washington, or was this just the player, this was the price Washington had to pay to get their next starting quarterback?
Yeah, I think it's more the latter. That's the cost of doing business when you're acquiring a starting quarterback. And I think the Chiefs came away way ahead in this deal. I was thinking that they would be probably getting a third round pick and maybe a little something else on top of that, little something to just to kind of throw in just so they can say they got a bit more than a third round pick, which is probably what you're going to get in compensatory compensation if a player like Alex Smith leaves in free agency. So I think that was probably the name of the game. They wanted to get a little bit better than that. And if the throw in is Kendall Fuller on top
right,
of the third round
saying.
Pick,
I mean, like,
that's
wow.
That's big. Now, he's had a little bit of injuries. He's not a big stout corner. He's a little bit on the smaller side, but definitely no concerns. I think they have a really smart, very aggressive, well-coached player. He comes from Virginia Tech, who just seems to be a school that produces quality defensive
Unlimited.
Backs year in and year
Unlimited.
Out.
Unlimited.
so there's a lot of things to like. His older brother is a very,
very
solid
good.
Corner.
And
up
I think
in
the
Chicago.
Chiefs, there was talk that they might have tried to go after him and it didn't work out.
Yeah, I mean, a Fuller brothers combination would have been exciting. That's not going to happen. But the Fuller brother that we have, though, is a couple years younger, fewer injuries on his body at this point, and a heck of a lot cheaper. They've got him on the cheap for the next 2 years. So that was a huge acquisition for them.
All right, we're talking with Cole Craig from ChiefsWeekly.com. Let's get into the draft. There are people like Nick Jacobs over at 41 Action Sports. He's a producer over there. People really who are into the draft are really into it. And I know people, you're really into it. And for people who are really into it, it's bigger than the Super Bowl because you put in so much study, so much time. So as you look at this draft class for the Chiefs, as of right now, nothing in the first round for the Chiefs. But is this a draft in terms of Chiefs needs versus available talent. Like, we always hear teams say, well, we go best player on the board. But you know, we like to say, well, you really need a defensive end and a linebacker. Is this a year where the Chiefs lean one way or the other, maybe give a little more preferential treatment to one side or the other?
It's hard not to think that the Chiefs are going to come away from this draft with more defensive players drafted than offensive players drafted. They've placed a bit more emphasis on the offensive side of the ball so far in free agency. I'm not necessarily saying that you can cross wide receiver off of the list of positions that they would draft, because I think they do need to continue to look and not just assume that DeMarcus Robinson or Jay Uchesson are going to necessarily step up. You've got to keep bringing in more competition there. But it's certainly not a position that I could see them drafting with their second round pick, mm-hmm. which had they not signed Watkins, yeah, sure, maybe. Maybe mm-hmm. they would bring in somebody to push Chris Conley and some of the other guys there. The signing of Matt McGloin the other day is kind of telling, because mm-hmm. that you would think at that point they probably aren't going to use a later round pick on a quarterback, mm-hmm. And probably no need to try to develop one right now. Maybe next year you kind of start.
You always keep drafting another guy,
every other year. But you can kind of cross that off. They signed Damian Williams at running mm-hmm. back, so there's another position. Are they really going to draft a running back mm-hmm. unless there's just an incredible value that happens to fall there? So I see them drafting very heavily in the secondary and probably pretty heavily on the defensive line.
Do you have an idea, pretty good idea? We got a couple of minutes left with you here. Do you have a good idea with the Chiefs drafting in the second round what players might be in that area that the Chiefs might be interested in looking at and drafting?
Well, they definitely are not done at corner just yet. Okay. Just about every corner that was on the team last year, except for Steven Nelson, is gone.
Right.
And they've already started making some moves there with the signing of David Amerson mm-hmm. and Fuller, obviously, who we've talked about already quite a bit. But there's a lot. This draft is extremely deep with the type of corners that the Chiefs like. Tall, physical corners that can hold up in press coverage. There's a handful of guys. I mean, take your pick on the types of guys that they might be looking at. But you've got a couple of 6'3 corners in Kevin Tolliver out of LSU, Holton Hill out of Texas. They love those big, tall corners, and they haven't found another one with that kind of size since they let Sean Smith walk. Mm-hmm. So I could see them wanting to maybe target somebody like that. And if he happens to fall there, I do really like Carlton Davis out of Auburn.
Okay.
6'1", 203. He could go anywhere from, I'd say, maybe the back half of the first round to maybe late second round. The drawback on Carlton Davis is lack of interceptions. He gets his hands on a lot of passes. He doesn't intercept as many as you'd like, but everything else is there. Size, toughness, think he'd be a good fit for the Chiefs in the second round. So I'm looking at secondary all up and down this draft. I think they'll probably draft three players in the secondary.
I like that. All right, broad strokes on the NFL draft. Who's the first quarterback off the board, in your opinion? First of all, who would you pick if you had to pick, and who do you think will get picked?
Okay, if I am, especially if I'm the Browns, mm-hmm. and I have the situation that I have there at quarterback right now with Tyrod Taylor, if that's the type of quarterback that I want, I might roll the dice and take Lamar Jackson with the first pick.
Interesting. I have not heard anybody say that yet, but if you looked at it, so
if they want a quarterback with a similar skill set, again, right. Like I was talking about with the Chiefs signing Chad Henne over Chase Daniel,
yes.
If your starter gets hurt, it kind of helps if your backup can play in a similar way, in the same style. I think that they want to have a mobile quarterback up there, and Jackson is easily the best in the draft as far as that goes. I'm trying not to let USC bias get in the way, because Sam Darnold seems like he should be the best quarterback in this draft, but it's hard for me to want to buy in, fair or not, because of the lack of success we've seen from USC quarterbacks.
Right. Over and over again.
And this looks like another good player that has everything that you'd want. He's accurate, pretty good size. He's no Lamar Jackson, but he's got a little mobility. He can move around, and there's a lot of things to like about his game. But you just see that USC under college there, and you just think, man, I don't know. So yeah, I would say if it was anybody but Cleveland, we'll say Darnold.
Right.
But because Cleveland, they're in this position they're in, and maybe Cleveland shocks everybody, and they do something like they draft a Bradley Chubb or a Saquon Barkley with that first overall pick, and then
that
come back
shocking.
With the fourth pick and pick up Jackson. You never know.
You never know.
You never know.
Especially with Cleveland, but they've got better people now to manage what they're trying to do.
Yep.
All right, Cole Craig, ChiefsWeekly.com. Thank you very much for coming in and talking to us.
You bet.
Enjoy the rest of your Easter Sunday. The draft will be coming up in about 3.5 weeks, and then we're off and rolling to OTAs and training camp.
Can't wait.
All right, we'll take a time out. You're listening to Sports Saturday. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is our producer, and we're broadcasting live from the Rally House Studios on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Any song that's got whistling in it, down with that. I like a good whistle. You can whistle and make it work in a song. That's pretty stout. Wish I was whistling in the sunshine today, but that's not going to happen. Taking a look out the window again, because Gary Ligasek said the most important thing in weather is look outside. Go outside and look up.
Wow.
It's groundbreaking.
Did he really need to go to OU and get a meteorology?
For that, yeah. Well, I was just reading the latest weather report from Jeff Penner over at 41 Action News. Because, of course, we've talked weather on the show because it's been garbage for the last few weekends. It's the way it is. So
pretty much ever since spring started.
Yeah, exactly. It's been horrible. So Jeff Penner, 41 Action News, has a post of a map. It says, new development rapidly taking place west of Topeka. And this will be the snow and sleet that affects KC, increasing from noon to 2 p.m. and ending between 6 and 8 p.m. Anywhere from a dusting to 2 inches possible. Dusting to 2 inches. Jeff Penner, if you're listening, I know you're not. You're probably with your family and doing all kinds of fun stuff on Easter Sunday. But if you're listening and you want to give us a call in and give us a more advanced forecast than what you have on Twitter, that'd be great. But that's okay. Enjoy your Easter Sunday. So we wrapped up with Cole Craig. That's the first time I've gotten to talk with Cole Craig from ChiefsWeekly.com. Good stuff there on the Chiefs. And we were talking on his way out the door. And okay, yeah, snow, let it snow. It's going to snow in the draft coming up. Snow draft picks. We were talking on his way out the door. He said for people who don't really study the draft, who are not, for lack of a better term, draft Knicks, this could be a very boring draft after the quarterbacks are taken.
You can call them nerds.
Cole draft says, nerds? Okay.
Cole says it endearingly.
A draft nerd, okay.
I mean, Cole will gladly admit that he's a draft nerd.
Right. The quarterbacks are the sexy picks, and there's four or five of them that are getting a lot of attention. But what Cole said, you know, there's a lot of offensive linemen and corners in this draft. And unless you watch a team religiously or pay attention to a particular conference, you don't know the corners outside the top three, four, or five. You don't know the top linemen, maybe even if they're a first overall pick. You know what you read on ESPN.com and SI.com and all the great draft websites, but after the quarterbacks are gone, not going to be sexy. Not going to be blowing you away with the names. It'll be film study. And we'll follow all the guys that we interact with here at WHB, you know, Seth Kaiser and Matt Verderam and Nick Jacobs over at 41 Action News. And, you know, they'll break down the film and they'll tell us what skill sets these guys have. But it's, man, 3.5 weeks away. And this will be the first opportunity for Brett Veach to be in charge of the draft, depending on how the balance of power is between he and Andy Reid. This will be Brett Veach's. This will be the first draft with his name stamped on it. Now, he had influence and a say last year when John Dorsey was still in charge and then let go, a week or two later? But he was part of it, but didn't have to make the final call. Different thing when you're in the chair and you got to make the call. You know, when the Chiefs, I was talking with Cole about this, when the Chiefs drafted Tom Bahali, I was out at the draft party at Arrowhead Stadium, and when they announced Tom Bahali out of Penn State, the reaction from the crowd at Arrowhead was, because nobody knew who he was, unless you follow Penn State or the Big Ten, and I saw him a couple of times when they played against Iowa, but I knew a little bit about who he was, but not a ton, But I had a Chiefs front office official very high up. I called and said, who is this guy? And he goes, you won't believe it. Throw in the tape is one thing, and wait till you meet him. He's an even better person. All right, so we've talked about just about everything so far. We got a little more to get to. Cody Tapp is going to join us in the next hour. You're listening to Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.